Broadcasting from the confines of an abandoned radio station in the secluded apartment building closet of high strangeness from the foothills of the Colorado Rockies, it's time for full disclosure of the topics they told us were off limits. Hi there, I'm Connie Willis. Tonight, Thomas Jefferson speaks. So does a real diagnosed narcissistic psychopath. Ooh, time now to turn off the lights and join me for another interesting evening of conversation. Much needed education, and the chance that we might get a little closer to the truth of what lurks amongst us and what is beyond. I'm Connie Willis, and this is Coast to Coast AM. You are listening to Coast AM. Hello, everybody. I'm Connie Willis. How are you doing? Hope all is well for you tonight. Hope that you guys join me with my shows. You can find me at ConnieWillis.com. I do a lot of crazy different things. I don't know. I can't say crazy. It's fun. You guys are with me on this kind of thing. Do something called Far Out Thursday. And then on the next night, it's Bigfoot Friday. So you know what the Bigfoot Friday is. So Far Out Thursday is anything other than that, right? And then the main feature, it's all under Blue Rock Talk TV, is Creepy Hotspots. And I take you to a live investigation. We live stream. You are a part of the show as a member, and you are called a Blue Rocker. You're in the know. And just have a really good time investigating, really wanting to know the truth, hitting all the genres, whether it's a haunting or a Bigfoot or Dogman or strange lights, taking you to areas that really have this stuff happening. Somebody asked me the other day, is this stuff real, Connie? And they're looking me in the eye like, is this real? Is it real? Now, come on, tell me, is it real? Yes, it's real. We have this whole world based on it that you guys, you know, are part of along the way. But this is where you can actually go on the investigations and, you know, go where, you know, I take you where there's relationships that are already happening with these types of beings that we're learning more about. And whether it's a ghost up to an alien, to a Bigfoot, to a entity, we have no idea what it is. You know, these things all relate in some way. So it's not a podcast. It's not 101. If you're still going, I don't know if I believe or not, well, then maybe this isn't for you, because this is for those of you that want to get past, is it real or not, and learn what it's all about. And so that's where we take you, or I take you deeper into that. And we hope to learn. We find out that there's more and more similarities. And it's time now to go even deeper to find the differences so that we can determine what some of these are some of the time, because sometimes they can definitely deceive you and be something else, right? Or not, who knows? So if you'd like to be a part of that, if that sounds interesting to you, or you want to go investigating as well, well, I'm telling you, it's fun, and a lot of people help out. Waverly Hills helps out with ghosts, and BFR, BFRO helps out with Bigfoot, and MUFON with UFO. I mean, it goes on and on. You know these names, you know these entities, but for the most part, it's personal experiences and activity, and you're a part of it. So go to ConnieWillis.com, and as a Coast fan, you'll get a nice percentage off. And as a veteran, you'll get a really nice percentage off. So ConnieWillis.com. And then I also do a show called Connie After Dark, where you can enjoy a drink with me. And that kind of sprung out of just wanting to talk more. So I hope that you guys will be a part of the show in some way. Become a member with me at ConnieWillis.com. It was so funny. Somebody asking me, is it real? Is it real? Of course it's real. That's some of the reasons why I don't do some shows out there, is because they want to also add a creak and, you know, like a creak of a door, or they want to add a scream or a sound of a howl of something. And it's like, no, if this isn't authentic, I don't want to be a part of it. So I know you guys feel the same. We're here to learn the real stuff, right? So tonight, interestingly enough, so our next guest, our first guest, kind of, I think, maybe even stumbled upon a new world along the way. I'm not sure. Well, we'll find out for sure. But when we talk about ghosts and mediumship and things like that, now, I got into it as a child only because we were in a haunted home. You know, when you grow up in a haunted house, I guess if you watch television, and apparently, I guess the kids are smarter than the parents, and they can tell the parents there's a ghost, and then they'll move out of the house for them. I don't know. I didn't grow up in an era like that. I couldn't say, Dad, you've worked hard. You got this home. You're renovating it to be wonderful for us kids and to take care of the family. But there's a ghost, so we must move out now. So don't worry about any losses or bank problems you have to do or anything to get the new house. Sorry, that didn't even come to mind. It was, you just had to live with it, and that's the way it was. And at that point, my real determination growing up in the haunted house was to know where that ghost was so I could be on the other side of the house. And that's the truth. And it's good now. I have good ambiance of knowing where some of these things are at times or not, but at least I can go the other direction. But along the way in learning more of what this is, when I found out that not everybody was privy to this, because you don't know if you grow up in a haunted house, right? I know a lot of you relate to that because I talk about it along the way when I meet you. And so I get that. Not everybody has this happening. So when you learn that and you start venturing out to go, okay, wow, let's go to this other place that's haunted. And I want to stay the night at your home just so I can get some rest for the first time. But I had learned from someone that would do ghost tours that a lot of people that got into the ghost world were people that were into history. They just loved history, and they would go to places, and then they started seeing apparitions at these battlefields and things like that. So I found that very interesting that that's how some other people got into this field, where I had no choice. I couldn't run. I couldn't do any of that, but interesting that people got into it later because of love of history, and they were also open to it. So I appreciate anyone and everyone that is open to these things that they probably laughed at people that said anything before, or maybe not, or just never even thought about it. But it's nice when people are open to it along the way. And when it happens later in life, it's fun for me to learn from them how it affected their lives and how it was such an eye-awakening for them. And then, what's in the future for them to also wake up to? Because, hey, now that they listen to Coast, they're going to hear a whole lot of other things, aren't they? And by the way, with the space flight earlier today, yay. All right, keep it going. Let's go out further and further and further and further. Let's keep doing it, right? Okay, so our first guest, Suzanne Munson. I happen to know her husband from the good old days of infomercials, by the way. So it's a small world, isn't it? But Suzanne specializes in writing books and lecturing on traditional history and focuses on the contributions of America's founding fathers. And in her new book, it's The Metaphysical Thomas Jefferson. It's in two categories, political commentary and New Age channeling, also doing very well among lists of major books about Thomas Jefferson. So she began this parallel journey into studies of the afterlife after the death of her husband. And this journey's eventually led research into the science of mediumship. And that research led to her finding a trusted medium to channel her husband and her departed family and friends. So at one point she got a little curious. She said, if I can channel regular people, why not someone famous? Why not Thomas Jefferson? So it goes back to her love of history. And the result of this is that's her book, The Metaphysical Thomas Jefferson. And she's gotten, there's a lot of, really nice information about it, really nice reviews. In fact, our Dr. Jeff Long also wrote a nice review. And you guys have heard him on here several times. Great guy. Just love that guy to death. Well, she's a native Virginian with roots going back to the Jamestown settlement. And she currently resides in Central Virginia. Suzanne Munson, first time guest. Welcome to Coast. How are you?
Yes. Hey, Connie. Just fine. Hey. Thank you.
Yeah. So were you into, now you've always been into history. Were you also into the other side?
I've always been open to spiritual matters. My mother lost a child. It was a great tragedy. And after that, she became quite spiritual. And so I think some of that rubbed off on me. She really wasn't into metaphysics in the way that I have been, but in her own way, back in another era, she did explore the physical, the spiritual world. And I've always been interested in history, and my family has always told stories of our pioneer forefathers. And so after I retired, I had time to write history and just enjoy doing the things that I like to do with writing.
Well, tell us a little bit more about yourself with the writing and your history, and also how you came across this particular book. Did you ever think you were going to do something like this?
No. the idea for this book occurred to me during the COVID shutdown, and I had had some time, and I had written a book of straight history before. It was called Jefferson's Godfather, and it was a book about Jefferson's teacher, George Wythe. And in the course of that, I studied Jefferson's early life very carefully. And being a Virginian, of course, I grew up in the shadow of Monticello and have family who went to the University of Virginia, so many, many connections to Jefferson. And he's always been a figure of great curiosity and respect and intrigue here in Virginia.
You know, it's interesting, I guess. You had wanted to get in contact with your husband after he passed away, and you found a medium. Now, here's the part that, you know, if you find a bad one, forget it, no more, nothing would have went further, you know, right? But it sounds like you found a good one. How did you know this lady was right on and that you decided to go, you know what, hey, if I can do this with my family and friends, I'm going to move on to see if I can do it with well-known people?
Yes. Well, after my husband died, I went to a writing retreat, and I kind of stumbled into an amateur medium there who had written a book called Friends in High Places, which I thought was kind of a cute title for a book.
I like that title, yeah.
And so we were sweet mates, and so I said, Katie, do you think that you can channel my late husband? And he'd been dead for 6 months. She's an amateur medium, not she doesn't do it full-time. And so she said, yeah, I think I can. And so she went into her room, shut the door, and came back a half hour later and described him perfectly. And
wow.
What he looked like, what he sounded like, the kind of person he was. So I came home, told my children. Of course, they were incredulous, but they were very,
yeah,
very curious.
But how did that make you feel, though? That must have been amazing when they hit it right, you know, when they nail it,
yes.
Right? I mean, how did you feel about that?
Oh, I felt good about it. And so then several months later, I went to a meeting, an IONS meeting, the Institute of Noetic Sciences. And the speaker was Irene Kendig, who had written a book about a medium, Jana Anna is the medium's name. And the book was called Conversations with Jerry and Others Who Had, I Thought, Had Died, or something like that. And so I thought, well, this woman had won major awards with the book about the readings by this medium. And I thought, well, it's good enough for an award-winning book. Maybe the medium is someone that I could trust. So I got up enough courage to go on her website and email her and ask for an appointment. And the way it worked, she lives about 500 miles from me. We've never met in person, but we've talked, of course, extensively on the phone. So I make an appointment with her about a week in advance, and she calls me at precisely that time. And when I was listening to her channeling of my friends and family, I would just have a yellow notepad and write everything down as quickly as I could. Even though she sends a recording of the sessions, I didn't want to go back a year later and listen to an hour's worth of conversation. So, but when I got the idea for the Jefferson book, and again, the idea occurred to me, if I can talk to normal people with great satisfaction, and I had worked with this medium, Jana Anna, for a number of years, I'd call a couple of times a year and check in with my departed ones. And I felt that I was really getting the real deal. I felt that the real people were coming through, and there were things that the medium could never know about my family. She had never met us, and or know about me. She would also reflect about how I was doing at the time. And so I got up enough courage to say, to think about this book, and so, but I did not tell the medium ahead of time what I was doing. I just asked for an appointment. And so she said, well, what do you want to do today? And I said, I'd like to talk to Thomas Jefferson. So she didn't seem to have a problem with that. I had asked her sometime before whether she channeled historic figures, and she said that she had. And so I went from there. And she had actually helped some writers before, but she didn't elaborate on that. So anyway, she brought in Thomas Jefferson, and of course I could not hear him. She could, and so she did her best to translate what he was saying. And I had my laptop going, and I had put the phone on speaker right by my laptop, and I would type furiously away. I would ask a question, and then type the answers as they came through.
Oh my!
And then later on, I would
typer.
Listen to the recordings very carefully so
right.
that I was correctly transcribing what I had heard. So I had 8 hours of recordings with an entity who presented himself as Thomas Jefferson. That was last spring. I finished the book in the fall, and it was published in May.
Which is what you can get right now on Amazon, correct?
Yes, it's called The Metaphysical Thomas Jefferson, and it's on Amazon. It's doing very well. You can buy it in paperback, Kindle, and hardback now.
And our buddy, Dr. Jeffrey Long, gave you a nice review.
He certainly did. Let's see what he said about that.
He's such a nice guy. He's done
yes.
such good work, and he's so kind and just a heartfelt guy. We love him here.
Yes,
Coast
he is
Coast.
A dear soul. Well, here's what he said about the book. He said, future leaders of America need to read this book. The wisdom it contains could help steer this country in the right direction for generations. This is a remarkable, exceptionally well-written work with the ring of reality. Thank you, Dr. Long.
he deserves dinner for that one. And
he does.
Me.
I'm
and hang out.
Buy him dinner this fall.
Oh, he's so good. Well, tell him I said hello for sure. Good guy. So, yeah, so that's good. And congratulations to you on the book. And it doing well like that too. So I know our listeners will like that because people are into history. They're into the channeling. They're into, you know, ghost type things like that. And then when you put them all together. So now when the answers were coming, you know, how did you come up with the questions? And I understand why you didn't tell her ahead of time so she wouldn't be able to study and you would know that, hey, I'm coming to you cold. This is a cold call to TJ himself. So smart lady. So how did you come up with what questions, and did you feel that they were answered in a way that you believed that was it was him 100%?
Well, I had questions of my own. But the thought occurred to me that I should involve Jefferson historians in the project. And so I went on Amazon and I looked at all the books about Jefferson by living authors. And I found their emails as best I could. And I emailed them and said that I presented it as a class project. The premise being, if you could talk to Thomas Jefferson, what questions would you ask? Of course, I didn't tell them what I was really up to because they wouldn't have participated. But so about eight historians were kind enough to take the time to respond to me. And they gave me some really good questions. Of course, there were obvious ones about slavery and Sally Hemings and other founding fathers and so on. But there were some questions that I would not have thought of myself, and they made the book, I think, a lot better. So that was the beginning of the process, and I used all of their questions, and then I added some of my own.
Well, when we come back, let's ask her more about the questions. This is Suzanne Munson that we're talking to, and she did some work with a channeler to channel Thomas Jefferson. She's got a famous book out there now. I mean, it's already doing well, and congratulations to her, the metaphysical Thomas Jefferson. Two categories under the political commentary and also New Age channeling. Also, even, you know, look up Thomas Jefferson. So more to come on this always interesting topic. And there's a lot of people doing this more and more. It's interesting that everybody wants to go to the celebrities, even after life. Darn it, man, give these folks a break. No, this is interesting. More to come. I think you're going to like it. Thanks for being here. You're listening to Coast AM. I'm Connie Willis. Welcome back to Coast AM. Connie Willis here. Catch me at ConnieWillis.com for Blue Rock Talk and Connie After Dark and more. ConnieWillis.com. With us tonight, first-time guest Suzanne Munson, specializing in writing books and lecturing on traditional history, focusing on contributions of America's founding fathers and her latest book, The Metaphysical Thomas Jefferson. You can see that it's really cool when you get something on Kindle and it's in several categories. That's like very special. So so congrats to her on that political commentary and also New Age challenging. And you can, I guess, kind of even put it in a third one there with books about Thomas Jefferson. So that's congrats to her for sure. And what is it? It's simply things that we enjoy here at Coast to Coast for sure. So Suzanne, you were, so the channeler, I love her, by the way, I love her name, Anna Jana, right? Or Jana Anna, what was it?
Jana Anna.
I love it, love it, love it.
She has a website if anyone is curious. It's janaanna.com. She's a very sweet individual. And so when I, in the introduction to the book, I said there are only three ways that you can look at this book: that I wrote it, the medium made it all up, or somehow we are speaking with an entity presenting as Thomas Jefferson. It's only three ways about it. So number one, I did not write Jefferson's commentary, and I have 8 hours of recordings to prove that, and I can send the recordings to anyone who's interested. I'm the one who's asking the questions and writing down the answers. Number two, the medium, Jana, majored in elementary education, and she said history was her least favorite subject.
Same here.
And she knew very, very little about Thomas Jefferson.
I'm with her.
So number three is you know, kind of what I'm going with. I think I actually did speak with the soul of Thomas Jefferson, as strange as that sounds.
Yeah, he, you know, you can even make an audio book out of it, actually, from, you know, the perspective of Jana telling you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm happy that it's doing well for you, especially when it's in the world of what we all love here at Coast to Coast. It's always nice to know, because more and more people not only love this type of thing, but more and more are coming out of the closet in liking it, because it's always been kind of a taboo thing. So
I appreciate that. We were taught, most of us of my generation, that mediums were charlatans, that they preyed on the gullible, and that you were quite gullible if you believed that a medium could channel your friends and family, and then it's particularly strange if you got a medium to channel somebody like Thomas Jefferson. That really does strain everyone's credulity.
Yeah, we've gotten, not too long ago, I was interviewing someone, and he channels Jesus, and we've got some other people. They have machines and devices that they talk to others on the other side when they go to cemeteries and stuff, but then they also will now talk to celebrities, and especially right after they pass away. And I got to tell you, when you hear it back on some of these devices, I mean, it sounds like the people that you know as a celebrity that just passed too. So that's really like, I mean, it sounds like their voice. These devices are audio devices. So we were talking about the eight questions that you came up with and how you determined them. And can you tell us about some of, can you give us some of the questions and how that went?
Well, we covered a broad spectrum of issues. We covered government, higher education, the media, religion, spirituality, slavery, Sally Hemings, foreign policy, use of the military, and other founding fathers, and then some other kind of random questions that some of the historians threw in. My main interest is government, and that is what I lecture on, and what my first book was all about was the government that our founding fathers created for us, and the need for ethical leadership. And so my first question to Jefferson, and this is constituted the first chapter of the book, was, what is your greatest concern now about American government? And so he's not happy, that's safe to say. And so he said his greatest concerns were corruption, self-interest, and conformity, that the founding fathers had left building blocks for running this country, and that the building blocks had been reassembled in ways that they had not anticipated. He said that our grand experiment has gone awry, and I think he would probably laugh at what comedian Robin Williams said about people in Congress. He said they should wear sponsor jackets like the NASCAR drivers so we could see who owns them.
That's yeah. True. Oh, I love Robin.
I think he would, Jefferson would heartily agree with that observation that money has corrupted the system, and he goes into that fairly extensively. But beyond that, I think there is a lack of ethics that disturbs him greatly in Washington. And regardless of party, and this is not new, the corrosion has been going on for quite a while. And he says that many go into the system with good ideas, with the ideas of about being of service to the people, but fairly quickly they begin to see how easy it is to feather their nests and to align themselves with the big interests, and kind of tend to forget about the interests of the average person as time goes on. And so that was the focus of the first chapter, was American government. He said that some of the chaos that we're seeing now is a purge and is necessary. Of course, he always believed that a little revolution was good for a country every now and then, and he is calling for a revolution, but not an uprising, but a revolution of ethics that we need to have to start creating circles of ethics in Washington and turn the government around if there are enough people, like-minded people, who band together and who create the reforms that are necessary.
So he's given you a perspective of, hey, I'm answering your questions and I'm seeing it now. I'm seeing what's going on now. He's giving you the perspective of it's not from old days he's talking from. He's talking, hey, I'm watching it now.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
I always had the idea of that maybe, well, I used to have this fantasy. I've always been fascinated by Jefferson, but I used to have this fantasy of resurrecting him from his 1826 resting place and driving him around in my car and showing him, you know, how things had changed at his university, you know, that there were women there and people of color and people from all over the world and so on. And but the fact is, people are not frozen in time. Once we depart, we keep up with things. Well, I'm not sure that everybody does, but Jefferson certainly does. And not only does he know exactly what's going on today in Washington and at his university, the University of Virginia, and in the media, our foreign policy, our churches, he has full knowledge of all that. But also he uses modern terminology. I had not expected that. I had expected quainter terminology, you know, more 18th century cadence to his speech. But he was using words like ego, and he acknowledged that it was a modern term, but he used that. That was surprising. And also he had an awareness of female disempowerment. That was a surprise to me, too, that not only were people of color disempowered in the 18th and 19th century, but women were as well, and were not considered equals to white men. And so some of his reflections on females were surprising to me. They had a very modern sound, and I think that may cause some people to think that I wrote those words, but I didn't. I just transcribed them.
So you're saying he was kind of more regretful of before and likes it today, or no?
He says that he was a product of his age. And that he doesn't make excuses for it, and that he wishes that he had known better, but that he and all white men had the idea that women were not their equals, and certainly people of color were absolutely not their equals, and that his perspective obviously has changed over the years. And he said if he were born today in our culture, his views would be totally different, but he was a product of his environment.
Yeah, and we all grow individually and as a nation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as humans, we definitely grow. So it's neat that the perspective again is he's watching it grow as well from where he is. You know, you think, and even talking with Jeffrey along the way, Dr. Jeffrey Long, going back to him, talking about all that past lives and next life, you know, some people apparently go right into another life, and then some people hang out somewhere. And so interesting that, I guess, I mean, right, you would think, hey, maybe I'm going to jump into something else. But if you can ask that person something, maybe they can do more than one thing. That's a whole nut. We can talk about that at another time for sure, because I want to get back to the book. But it gets deep, right? It's things that we don't know, but we'll know one day for sure. Did Thomas Jefferson, or if I happen to say TJ, sorry, I went to Thomas Jefferson High School in Kentucky, so it's TJ to us. We knew him pretty well. Did he have regrets? Did he talk about regrets or anything that really surprised you?
He was shamed a little bit by Sally Hemings. For those who don't know, she was his slave mistress, and I want to make it clear that his wife had died some years before that, and she had made him promise not to remarry because she had had stepmothers, and she did not want their children to grow up under a stepmother. And so he made a solemn vow to her on her deathbed that he would not remarry. And he was a young man, just not quite 40, when she died.
Mm.
His mistress, most people believe that they did have that relationship, was his wife's half-sister. They had the same father. And she was three-quarters white. She'd also had a white grandfather. And she was very, very beautiful. And we don't know much about her except that she was beautiful. But this is the really strange part of the episode on slavery. There, we had some sessions on slavery because Jefferson now is being sort of called to task, being the author of the Declaration of Independence and not freeing his slaves. And in the book, I go into a number of reasons why he felt that he couldn't. Some of them were, oddly enough, humanitarian in his mindset at the time. But so Sally Hemings intervened. This is very strange. And said that she, they had had a very good relationship in private, but he could never acknowledge her publicly because he wanted to be credible in the outside world, and he didn't want to be embroiled in a lot of controversy and gossip. And so he didn't discuss her at all or really acknowledge her. And so she said, she resented that at the time, that they were very close in private. He respected her views in private, even though she was female. And but from their place in spirit now, that they have, they still respect each other a great deal. And she says that from her place in spirit, away from the flesh, she realizes that she made a difference. And her difference is being seen now in the 21st century at Monticello. They're telling her story, and they're telling the story of the slaves there for the first time, really, and the story of her children. And so that part I thought was fascinating. There's a chapter on slavery that I think is of interest to readers.
We're talking with Suzanne Munson. She describes herself as the scribe of the book and not the author, talking about 8 hours of recorded sessions. Excuse me. She carefully transcribed them, answers to dozens of questions posed to an entity that was presented as Thomas Jefferson, and that was all channeled through a respected medium, and her name, Jana Anna, and she's at JanaAnna.com. So previously, Anna had facilitated a book of 7 compelling readings with those who had crossed over, conversations with Jerry, winner of 4 national awards and 1 international award, and that was compiled by Irene Kindig. Now, Suzanne, not to move too fast, but are you going to be doing someone else other than Thomas Jefferson in the future? Are you going to do this again? With someone who's next.
So.
Who's next?
I
no, oh, come on.
My main interest really is the founding fathers, and in particular Thomas Jefferson and his teacher George Wythe. I did access George Wythe because I wrote a very large book about him, and I had some interesting responses from him from the spirit world. But no, I'm not really interested in anybody else and spending this much time on anybody else. I do have another traditional history book in the works, and it draws from what I've learned from Jefferson and George Wythe. And I think the title of that will be America's First Leadership Crisis, 1776. And that's, we declared independence, but we had no government of our own. And the idea of a democratic republic was yet to come some years later.
And more to come. We're going to be talking more with Suzanne Munson. Take your questions as well. She's a native Virginian with roots back to the Jamestown settlement. She's residing in Central Virginia now and loves that history. So more to come. Stay with us. Connie Willis, again, we're going to be taking your questions. You're listening to Coast to Coast AM.